Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Q1 2020 Amdocs Earnings Conference Call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. After the speaker's presentation, there will be a question-and-answer session. To ask a question during that session, you will need to press star one on your telephone. Please be advised that today's conference is being recorded. If you require any further assistance, please press star and zero. Now it's my pleasure to hand the conference over to your speaker today, Matthew Smith, Head of Investor Relations.
Thank you, operator. Before we begin, I would like to point out that during this call, we will discuss certain financial information that is not prepared in accordance with GAAP. The company's management uses this financial information in its internal analysis in order to exclude the effect of acquisitions and other significant items that may have a disproportionate effect in a particular period. Accordingly, management believes that isolating the effects of such events enables management and investors to consistently analyze the critical components and results of operations of the company's business and to have a meaningful comparison to prior periods. For more information regarding our use of non-GAAP financial measures, including reconciliations of these measures, we refer you to today's earnings release, which will also be furnished with the SEC on Form 6-K. Also, this call includes information that constitutes forward-looking statements. Although we believe the expectations reflected in such forward-looking statements are based upon reasonable assumptions, we can give no assurance that our expectations will be obtained or that any deviations will not be material. Such statements involve risks and uncertainties that may cause future results to differ from those anticipated. These risks include, but are not limited to, the effects of general economic conditions and such other risks as discussed in our earnings release today and at greater length in the company's filings with the Securities and Exchange Commission, including in our annual report on Form 20-F for the fiscal year ended September 30, 2019, filed on December 16, 2019. Amdocs may elect to update these forward-looking statements at some point in the future. However, the company specifically disclaims any obligation to do so. Participating on the call with me today are Shuky Sheffer, President and Chief Executive Officer of Amdocs Management Limited, and Tamar Rapaport-Dagim, Joint Chief Financial and Operating Officer. With that, I'll turn it over to Shuky.
Thank you, Matt, and good afternoon to everyone joining us today. I am pleased to report solid first quarter results, which include record revenue above the midpoint of guidance after adjusting for currency. In addition, profitability was consistent with our operating plan, including investment to support new customer activity. We returned more than 100% of normalized free cash flow to shareholders, and we ended Q1 with record 12-month backlog of more than $3.5 billion. This strong book of business reflects our high win rate during the quarter and includes the recent signing of major transformation projects such as Vodafone Germany and Orange Spain, both of which are among the largest of their kind in the industry today. We believe a world like this reflects our pedigree for innovation, our reputation for consistent project delivery, and our unique ability to help our customers respond to major industry trends through our market-leading portfolio of products and services. A prime example is CES20, a fully cloud-native and microservices-based version of our customer experience suite. Leading global services providers like Orange Spain, Korea Telecom Corporation, Sprint, and Vodafone Germany are already adopting CES20. By combining this with our go-to-market partners like Microsoft Azure and AWS, we believe Amdocs is well-positioned to bring the critical services needed to accelerate the industry's secure and rapid path to the cloud over the coming years. Now, let me proceed as usual with a recap of our quarterly activities by region. Beginning with North America, sequential revenue growth reflects stabilization at AT&T and the ongoing strategic support we are providing to customers in the broader region. Notably, the quarter includes Amdocs Media signing a multi-year content services servicing and global delivery deal with the iconic film and television studio MGM. Regarding the outlook in North America, let me take a moment to comment on the broader market condition in which we are operating. First, we believe the long-term regional market dynamics remain generally favorable as service providers invest in strategic areas like digital transformation, wireless and 5G convergence, media, 5G, the enterprise segment, and generally to the cloud. Such investments create opportunities for Amdocs to bring customer value with our product and services. At Bell Canada, for instance, we recently launched RevenueONE, a key building block of CS20 to help Bell simplify retail engagement and improve customer experience. As a further example, I'm pleased to say that we've recently partnered with Microsoft Azure to support the migration of AT&T's IT systems to the public cloud. Second, we remain committed to demonstrating the future value we can bring to T-Mobile and Sprint. Our relationship remains strong at both customers, as demonstrated by Sprint's recent decision to collaborate with Project 202, an Amdocs company, which will bring experience-driven design and development methodologies as part of Sprint's continued transformation and modernization of the customer experience. Having said that, we continue to see some indication of softness relating to the delayed merger of T-Mobile and Sprint, the immediate future of which rests in the hands of the court. To summarize North America, we remain on track to deliver modest growth this fiscal year, but we remind you that ongoing consolidation activity in the region remains a source of uncertainty in our near-term outlook. Moving to Europe, we maintain healthy year-over-year revenue growth in Q1 and achieve a high win rate for the quarter that includes the previously announced transformation project at Vodafone Germany. Additionally, we are today pleased to announce the formal Q1 signing of a large-scale, multi-year meta transformation product at Orange Spain that will include the deployment of Amdocs One in the AWS cloud environment to bring Orange improved customer experience, smart monetization, and faster time to market with new services. The new deal follows our preliminary selection by this customer a few quarters ago and positions Spain as a meaningful market for Amdocs by adding to our existing activities with Vodafone. Our notable wins this quarter include a multi-year managed services agreement with A1 Bulgaria, a subsidiary of A1 Telecom Austria Group, where we have been selected to modernize, automate, and digitize its business as part of a long-term expansion to our previous engagement. Looking ahead, we expect you to deliver solid growth this fiscal year, including a stronger second half as new project activity ramps up. Having said that, we are, of course, closely monitoring macroeconomic developments in the region. Turning to the rest of the world, we deliver another quarter of high single-digit year-over-year growth as we continue to support customer investment to modernize, automate, and digitize their businesses. Among these highlights, we signed a multi-year managed services renewal with Liberty Latin America for a digital customer management and commerce, and successfully complete the revenue assurance implementation at Safaricom, a major mobile network operator in Kenya. Q1 was also notable for an important 5G award at KT Corporation, the largest quad-play services provider in South Korea, which will deploy Amdocs Catalog One on the cloud in order to accelerate the launch of new 5G services, monetize new revenue opportunities, and further strengthen its market position as one of the world's leading service providers to commercially launch 5G services. Looking ahead, rest of the world is positioned for growth in fiscal 2020, driven by working progress and the rich pipeline of opportunities we see across Southeast Asia, Latin America, and parts of Africa. However, we remind you that quarterly trends may fluctuate given the project orientation of our activities in this region. To conclude my regional summary, Q1 was a successful quarter in which we extended our global market leadership by bringing the core engines we have built to support our customer needs and to drive our future goals. Of this engine is the Next Generation Networks, where we recently launched our Amdocs Service and Network Automation solution that can be implemented on telco cloud or public cloud environments like Microsoft Azure or AWS. Amdocs is already deploying components of this technology to accelerate the network transformation and the journey for several customers, including three integrated service providers in Europe, a major Tier 1 provider of telecommunication service in Asia-Pacific, and a leading MSO in North America. I'm also pleased to report strong first quarter sales momentum in Amdocs Media, which include the content process management expertise of Ubiquiti, the cloud-based subscription billing capabilities of Indicia, and our newly launched Market One platform. In addition to MGM, which I mentioned earlier, Amdocs Media won several new customers in Q1, include A1 Bulgaria, to support the rollout of A1 Telecom first TVOD platform in the region, and Unifiq, a private-owned Brazilian pay TV operator for which we will provide the content, services, and licensing of TVOD and SVOD titles. Demonstrating continued traction in the sports arena, we are also pleased to announce that Vindicia Subscribe has been selected to support FC Barcelona's OTT platform, Barstool TV. Finally, we are encouraged to report a positive initial customer response to Amdocs Market One, a new platform that combines our solution for subscription monetization, user lifecycle management, and the efficient onboarding of OTT partners in one. As we announced last quarter, T-Mobile recently selected Market One to support its OTT strategy, and a further validation of this offering, I'm pleased to reveal today that we have also signed a major Latin America operator to the platform. Overall, we believe Amdocs Media is developing as a growth engine for the future and provides an example of the unique innovation we constantly bring to our customers by combining strategic acquisition with our portfolio of products and services. To wrap up, we are pleased with our operational and financial progress in the first quarter. Our record 12-month backlog is up 4.5% from a year ago and points to a stronger second half in which we expect revenue growth to accelerate and new customer activities ramp up, and we are on track to deliver total expected shareholder return in the mid to high single digit for the eighth consecutive year in fiscal 2020, including non-GAAP diluted earnings per share growth of 3% to 7% plus our dividend yield. With that, let me turn the call over to Tamar for remarks.
Thank you, Shuki. First fiscal quarter revenue of $1.042 billion was above the midpoint of our guidance range of $1.015 to $1.055 and includes a positive impact from foreign currency fluctuations of approximately $3 million relative to the fourth fiscal quarter of 2019. Revenue performance was slightly above the midpoint of our expectations, excluding foreign currency fluctuations. On a year-over-year basis, our first quarter revenue grew by 3%. Consistent with our guidance, Q1 revenue includes a full quarter revenue contribution from the previously completed acquisition of TTS Wireless in early August 2019. Our first fiscal quarter non-GAAP operating margin was 17.1%, slightly above the midpoint of our long-term target range of 16.5% to 17.5%. And consistent with our guidance that profitability in the first half of the year will be impacted by investments required to support the ramp-up of recent deal awards. Below the operating line, non-GAAP net interest and other expense was $400,000 in Q1. For forward-looking purposes, we continue to expect non-GAAP net interest and other expense in the range of $3 million quarterly due to foreign currency fluctuations. Diluted non-GAAP EPS was $1.06 in Q1, a penny above the midpoint of our guidance range of 102 to 108. As anticipated, our non-GAAP effective tax rate of 18.8% in the first fiscal quarter was above the high end of our annual target range of 13 to 17%. Diluted GAAP EPS was 85 cents for the first fiscal quarter, above the midpoint of our guidance range of 79 to 87 cents. Free cash flow was $105 million in Q1. This was comprised of cash flow from operations of approximately $164 million, less $59 million in net capital expenditures and other. Normalized free cash flow was $121 million in the first fiscal quarter and is on track with our expectations for the year, which I will further expand on in a few minutes. Please refer to the reconciliation table provided in our Q1 earnings release for an explanation of the difference between normalized and reported free cash flow in the quarter and for past periods. DSO of 88 days decreased by 3 over the last year, but rose by 1 day as compared to the prior fiscal quarter. We remind you that DSO may fluctuate from quarter to quarter. The sequential gap between unbilled receivables and deferred revenue narrowed by $15 million as compared to the fourth fiscal quarter of 19, reflecting a decrease in total unbilled receivables of $2 million and an increase in total deferred revenue, both short and long term, of $13 million. Relative to a year ago, the gap improved by $6 million. Changes in this gap are primarily due to the timing of contract-specific milestones relating to transformation projects we are delivering for our customers. Moving forward, you should expect unbilled receivables and total deferred revenue to fluctuate from quarter to quarter in line with normal business activities. Moving on, our 12-month backlog was a record of $3.52 billion at the end of first fiscal quarter, up $30 million sequentially from the end of the prior quarter, an equivalent to year-over-year growth of roughly 4.5%. Our 12-month backlog increase was driven by signing of new deals during the quarter, including those with Vodafone Germany and Orange Spain. As a reminder, we believe our 12-month backlog continues to serve as a good leading indicator of our forward-looking revenue. Our cash balance at the end of the first fiscal quarter was approximately $486 million. Additionally, our Q1 balance sheet reflects the adoption of ASC 482, a new lease accounting standard under which lease assets and lease liabilities are now recognized on the balance sheet for most leases, including operating leases, with a term greater than 12 months. The adoption of ASC 842 does not materially impact our consolidated statements of income or the consolidated statements of cash flow for the period. During the first fiscal quarter, we repurchased $90 million of our ordinary shares under our current authorization. As of December 31st, we had close to $1 billion of authorized capacity for share repurchases with no stated expiration date, which we will execute at the company's discretion going forward. This includes $149 million remaining under current authorization and a further $800 million under the new authorization, which was approved by the board last quarter. Now, turning to our outlook for the second fiscal quarter of 2020, we expect revenue to be within a range of $1.035 billion to $1.075 billion. Embedded within our Q2 revenue guidance, we anticipate a sequential positive impact on foreign currency fluctuations of approximately $2 million as compared to Q1. Regarding the full fiscal year 2020, we expect to deliver total revenue growth in the range of roughly 2.5% to 5.5% on a constant currency basis, the midpoint of which is unchanged as compared to our previous expectations of 2 to 6% year-over-year. Our outlook assumes just over a point of growth from TTS Wireless, consistent with our prior guidance. On a reported basis, we now expect full-year revenue growth in the range of 2.5% to 5.5% as compared with a range of 1.5% to 5.5% previously. The outlook now includes an immaterial year-over-year impact from foreign currency fluctuations in fiscal 2020, as compared to an anticipated drag of about 0.5% previously. We continue to expect all three of our operating regions will grow on a reported basis in fiscal 2020, and that the ramp-up of recent project awards will contribute to an acceleration in the rate of year-over-year revenue growth in the fiscal second half. We anticipate our non-GAAP operating margins to be consistent with the higher end of our unchanged target range of 16.5% to 17.5% over the full fiscal year 2020. As I touched on earlier, we remind you that due to investments required to support the ramp-up of new deals, non-GAAP operating margins in the first half of the fiscal year might be slightly lower than the second half, but are still expected to remain at or above the guidance midpoint of 17% in Q2. We expect our non-GAAP effective tax rate to remain within the same target range of 13 to 17% for the full fiscal year 2020. We expect the second fiscal quarter diluted non-GAAP EPS to be in the range of 103 to 1.09. With respect to Q2, we expect our non-GAAP effective tax rate to be above the high end of our annual target range of 13 to 17. Our second fiscal quarter non-GAAP EPS guidance incorporates an expected average diluted share count of roughly 136 million shares and the likelihood of a negative impact from foreign currency fluctuations in non-GAAP net interest and other expense. We exclude the impact of incremental future share buyback activity during the second fiscal quarter, as the level of activity will depend on market conditions. For the full fiscal year, we are on track to deliver diluted non-GAAP EPS growth of 3 to 7%, consistent with our prior guidance. Additionally, our full-year EPS outlook incorporates our expected repurchase activity over the year and a neutral impact from the acquisition of TTS Wireless. We now expect normalized free cash flow for fiscal 2020 of approximately $500 million, which is a slight improvement as compared to our previous guidance of $480 million. As a reminder, we expect normalized free cash flow in the first half of the year to be slightly lower than the second half due to the initial impact of the new deal with AT&T, as well as setup costs we expect to incur during the establishment phase, required working capital investment relating to a ramp-up of recent transformation projects, and the timing of the annual bonus payments in fiscal Q2, just as we see every year. As stated before, we believe that roughly one-third of the annual normalized free cash flow will be generated in the first half of the year, and roughly two-thirds in the second half of the fiscal year. The significantly stronger second half normalized free cash flow will already reflect a conversion rate of 100% relative to non-GAAP net income. We now expect reported free cash flow for the year 2020 of approximately $400 million, which is improved as compared to our previous guidance of $350 million. Reported free cash flow includes the multi-year development of our new campus in Israel, for which we now anticipate capital expenditure of up to $90 million in fiscal year 2020, as compared to our previous guidance of $120 million and other items. Regarding our capital allocation plan, we still expect to return roughly 100% of our normalized free cash flow in fiscal 2020. As a reminder, we retain the flexibility to vary the level of share repurchase activity from quarter to quarter, depending on factors such as out-of-firm M&A, financial markets, and prevailing industry conditions. With that, we can turn back to the operator, and we're happy to take your questions.
Thank you. And as a reminder, to ask a question, you will need to press star 1 on your telephone. To withdraw your question, press the pound key. And we ask that you please do one question and one follow-up, and if necessary, get back in the queue. Please stand by while we compile the Q&A roster. And our first question is from Shaul Eyal with Oppenheimer & Company. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Shuki, Tamar, and Matt. Congrats on a well-executed quarter, improved outlook as well. Shuki, I was counting 8 separate press releases of contract wins, each one illustrating different capabilities you bring to the market. You know, anything from microservices with Sprint, managed services with Telecom Austria, you mentioned that, of course, your collaboration with Nice Systems at Vodafone Spain. So really showcasing your broad range of solutions. Are we currently seeing the fruition of prior investments and market education, which is definitely supporting some sort of an acceleration, at least from the midpoint of the prior guidance? We had an accelerating backlog last quarter. This quarter, it's further grew sequentially, 4.5% year over year. What's happening out there from a macro level, which is supporting that great improvement we had seen last quarter, and without it, that we continue to see this quarter?
Hi, Shaul. Good to hear your voice. I think it's what we see is a nice spread and consistent success overall, the different type of offering that we have from product and services. Some of them are connected to investment that we've done in the last 2-3 years, like building C1D1 or what we call CS20 or Amdocs1, the new platform that we have for deeper transformation, which is the microservices cloud-based platform. At the same time, we see more demand, and it's reflecting in the script about the activity of migration the industry to the cloud. So we talked about our activities in AT&T with Microsoft, and we see, by the way, the move to the cloud is something that we are in discussion, and in some cases already in progress with many of our customers. So the move to the cloud is something that I think is accelerated lately. Obviously, we are in dialogue both with Microsoft, AWS, and Google, and every one of our customers has a different preference, so for his cloud partner. We see acceleration in the media. So as you mentioned, we have a success in Amdocs Media. So I think that overall, which is nice, we see nice spread of the different offerings. So it's not just this offering or the other, and both across product and services.
Got it. And Tamar, if I may, in terms of the foreign exchange impact, I know Amdocs is exposed to, if I recall correctly, 5 to 6 major currencies amongst others, of course. Which is the one or two that have been mostly impacting the business? Is it the dollar shekel? Is it the euro, the pound sterling? Anyone screening a little better or not during the quarter, I think also as we look into the remainder of the year?
I assume you're talking about the revenue because, you know, usually our hedging practice is highly focused on protecting bottom line while the exposure remains on the top line. So from revenue perspective, I would say probably the euro and British pound are the ones that, you know, maybe number three would be Canadian dollar. So typically those are the three currencies that are mostly impacting our revenue line.
Got it. Thank you so much for that. Well done.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Ashwin Shirvaikar with Citi.
Thank you. Hi, Shuki. Hi, Tamar. Sorry for the noise in the back. I'm at an airport. You know, the question is on cash flow. So you're still signing transformational deals at a pretty good pace, but you also brought up the cash flow estimate. And I want to understand, you know, sort of the breakout of how much of it was due to reduced campus capex versus the element of being maybe further along in terms of extracting any economics from older signed contracts versus the need to invest in newer ones. And then you mentioned the campus spend is lower. Is that a timing thing or is it a more permanent thing?
So Ashwin, thanks for the question. When we're looking on the normalized free cash flow, that excludes the investments in the campus. So the improvement there by $20 million in our outlook for the year from $480 to $500 is coming from business fundamentals. And it's a combination of multiple reasons, you know, nothing specifically. Now with one quarter in our bag already, we felt comfortable to raise that slightly by $20 million for the year. And as you mentioned, rightfully so, yes, we're continuing to sign transformation. So while doing that, while ramping up new deal awards, we believe that this is a good outlook and something obviously we feel comfortable with. Relative to the future campus investments that are impacting our reported cash flow, yes, we updated the number for the year from expectation of up to 120 to up to 90. It has to do with our progress in different contractual engagements that we are we're continuing to run different RFPs, having better granularity of projections on specific milestones. So it's not necessarily indicative of the overall investment going down, but more about how we are seeing specifically 2020 fiscal year as it goes forward in terms of the overall spending cash.
Got it. And then the second question is on pipeline. You have had at this point, you know, at least the last couple of quarters have been, I would say, quite strong in terms of signing new deals and growing the backlog. Is that having a possible negative impact? I shouldn't say negative, but is it kind of whittling down your pipeline that you need to now build up, or is the pipeline continued to be strong as before? So are you refilling the pipeline?
I think the pipeline is pretty consistent in the same ratio that we are closing deal. I think we are adding new opportunities to the pipeline, so I don't see this as the fact that we are winning so much or winning in a very nice rate is impacting our pipeline.
Got it. Thank you. Good to know. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Tom Roderick with Stifel.
Hi, Shuki, Tamar, Matt. Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my questions. So, Shuki, I'll throw the first question here at you. It's a high level question, but I'm gathering you're starting to have more and more conversations about it. Would love to hear your updated thoughts relative to the impact of 5G on the conversations you're having with some of your bigger carriers. Perhaps that is starting to play a role into some of the acceleration you see in your business. But could you just kind of give some thoughts as to the handful of carriers that, you know, that are looking more seriously at 5G related services and how they're evaluating the Amdocs portfolio as it relates to things like upgraded billings, content support, product catalog? And then I guess the last part of that would be, how do you currently evaluate NFV in this world of 5G? How do those things sort of play out in the future? Thanks.
So regarding 5G, and obviously this activity is accelerating. I mean, 5G is real. Everyone is in the process of deploying 5G. Some are doing faster, some less. And I think I mentioned it before, we have three different angles for 5G. The new 5G requires new policy and new rating or charging engines that can leverage all the capabilities and, by the way, first the new protocol, but definitely all the new capabilities of 5G. So this is the first angle that, we, as we speak, we are involved in many RFPs or activities, and we have a very big pipeline in this domain. The second one is deploying 5G. As we have a very robust capabilities in 5G deployment, that, which are accelerated by the TTS acquisition in North America. From 5G deployment, North America is leading the world, although we see a lot of activities also in Europe. So the capabilities that we have today in supporting 5G deployment. And the third element, and this is, for example, what we announced, our new catalog, which is a cloud native, the best catalog today that exists in the market, is the monetization of 5G. When you come with new capabilities of edge computing, low latency, network slicing, all these capabilities need new monetization model, which require new ordering system, upgrade, obviously different catalog. So this is where we see from the monetization perspective, this is the third angle for 5G. Regarding NFV, when you talk about 5G platform, so it's built virtual from the ground up, from the design, so it's not like taking a core network and the old core network and upgrading it down. So I believe that 5G will also accelerate the activities in the NFV domain. But overall, this is our view of the 5G, and this is where we're investing our money, R&D, and from service perspective to support the industry.
Outstanding. Thank you, Shuki. Tamar, just a couple of quick hitters here for you on the financial side. You know, one thing, looking at the gross margins, they came down a little bit more than they typically would seasonally, but certainly understanding that you take on some of these transformational projects and they come with some uploaded front end loaded costs, perhaps some more bodies to get those off the ground, and you had a big extension with AT&T. Can you give us a sense as to how we ought to think about gross margins moving forward from here, in light of your big transformational deals you announced this quarter? And then second quick financial question, do you have an update as to how TTS participated or delivered in the quarter for you? Looks like you're still predicting just a 1% tailwind from TTS for the year, but wondering if you have a number for the first quarter. Thank you.
Thanks, Tom. So as we always say, I think that the right way to look at Amdocs is to focus on the operating margin. And while underneath, of course, there is significance to gross margin versus the other operating expenses, I would advise you to focus mainly on the operating margin line. Having said that, and back to your question, as we said, some of the pressure coming on profitability in the first half is related to the fact we're ramping up new deals and awards that we are very excited about, and some of them require some setup costs related to them. For example, the significant win we have with Vodafone Germany around transforming their business in a meaningful way across multiple lines of business, helping them, you know, become a digital organization, consolidating the different business lines, et cetera. And for us, it's a major ramp-up activity now in Düsseldorf in Germany, just by way of example. So there are many of these, obviously, transformations going on. Some of them require more setup investments than others. So I wouldn't pay too much attention to it. I would think that probably the second half, you would see the improvement in the margin contributing to the overall improvement in the operating margin.
Excellent. Then on TTS, real quickly, did you have a number there?
Specifically TTS, as we said before, we expect slightly over a point of contribution to year-over-year growth. So we're happy with the progress. The integration is going on well. We are seeing new opportunities. We said when we acquired TTS that this is very complementary to what we have in terms of radio access network optimization. So TTS is bringing great capabilities around the planning and design of networks, and very relevant, of course, now with 5G being a very topical investment cycle. So we are happy with that. We're in progress. And as we said, we acquired TTS with roughly $50 million of revenue annually. We are seeing pretty much this space starting to ramp up, but I think it will take probably a couple of more months to start translating the pipeline that we're accumulating with the synergies with Amdocs into a higher revenue growth rate.
Outstanding. Thank you both. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Tom.
Thanks.
Thank you. And ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, to ask a question, just press star, then one. And our next question is from Will Power with Baird.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the question. This is actually Charlie Ehrlich on for Will. Most of my questions have actually been asked, but could you just remind us of, you know, the work that you're doing with AT&T under the new extended collaboration that you guys announced last quarter? You know, what kind of work are you doing exactly, and is it expected to potentially bring the AT&T revenue stream back to growing in 2020 year over year?
So the activities that we do as part of the agreement with AT&T is mainly related to the consumer domain. It's related to our activity in AT&T Mobility and AT&T Entertainment. And it's a combination of managed services activities and projects and delivery activities and some other new domain like security and data-related data management activities. This is the broader agreement. Regarding the growth, we are very happy of stabilizing the business, which itself is a good achievement from our end. And we are starting to build the pipeline for growth. And one area that we mentioned this quarter is our partnership with Microsoft to deliver activities of moving application of AT&T to the cloud. This is just the start, but we think this thing could be developed to a nice business. But overall, as I said last quarter, we had it like a two-phase approach. The first one, to stabilize the business. We've done it last quarter. And now, together with AT&T, which I think the relationship is very strong, we are starting to build a new pipeline to accelerate the business.
That's really helpful. Thanks, Shuki. And just a quick follow-up on that, is 5G also an opportunity at AT&T? Have you had any conversations related to that?
Yeah, 5G, there's no MDOX customer in North America and in Europe that we don't have ongoing discussion about 5G. So this is not just true for AT&T, this is true for every big customer in North America, Canada, and pretty much the rest of the world. APAC is moving a little bit slow towards 5G comparing Europe. So I think North America is leading, then Europe, then APAC. But we have a dialogue about this. So for example, we mentioned Korea Telecom, which everyone believes is the leading in the world in monetization 5G, a real 5G, what they call standalone 5G. So, for example, they took our catalog to start to ramp up their services around 5G. But we have this dialogue with every major customer that we have.
Great. Thank you very much, and congrats on the strong results.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. And our next question comes from Jackson Ader with JP Morgan.
Great. Good evening, guys. Thanks for taking my question. There was a lot of activity in Spain. It looked like new customer activity and also signing expansion deals. Can you just remind us maybe how much activity you were doing previously in this particular geography? You've mentioned before how some of these deals require a large upfront kind of working capital investment, and I'm just trying to get a sense for what these deals may require.
Thanks, Jackson. So if you recall, we talked already about the fact that we are very encouraged with our ability to expand within Europe to more and more countries in which we didn't have historically a presence. We gave the example of the analyst there of Italy, where a couple of years ago, Ireland, Russia, et cetera, et cetera. And Spain is now another one of these examples where historically we had very little activity, and now we are ramping up following the both with the example of Vodafone in Spain, in which we have presence, and now Orange Spain, of course, is a very meaningful win for us with the managed transformation. And yes, there is some setup cost involved, and for us to open a new site, obviously some localization layer built around our product, et cetera. But I don't think it's a major investment per se, just because it's a new country. I think the reason we talked about some pressure on margins, the accumulation of all of these deals is adding up to some pressure. And again, let's put it in perspective. We talked about, you know, moving from 17.3% to 17.1%. So it's not such a huge investment. But we're very happy, and Spain should be one of these countries in which for many years to come we are now putting our foot in the door and building the relationship for decades, hopefully.
Great. That makes sense. And then just to follow up, and I apologize if you mentioned it, but the contribution from TTS in the quarter?
So TTS is roughly bringing in the double teens per quarter. It's a company we acquired with around $50 million of revenue annually, and that's why we said that specifically in 2020, we think it will contribute roughly slightly over a point to year-over-year growth. But now we're starting to build up the pipeline together, of course, and consolidating the CPI business with our own TTS business with our own mobile network optimization business that we had before. So we are encouraged with the progress of the PMI and think there's a great opportunity there.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. And ladies and gentlemen, this concludes our Q&A session. I would like to turn the call back to Matthew Smith for his final remarks.
Thank you, everyone, for joining our call this evening and for your interest in Amdocs. And we look forward to hearing from you in the coming days. And if you do have any additional questions, please give us a call at the Investor Relations Group. With that, have a great evening.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes today's conference call. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.